welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Good.
These crazy times continue. It just, I can't imagine some of the things that listeners must be going through, both politically in terms of patients that are opposed to some of the current policies, as well as medically having to deal with patients, some of whom are very sick and others are scared about what might be down the pike. I give you guys who are listening a lot of credit. You're working hard, I know. Today, we're not going to talk about anything COVID-related. Let's talk a little bit about an old friend, osteoporosis. Listeners will remember that the current standard practice for initial therapy for patients with osteoporosis includes lifestyle changes and oral bisphosphonates. Most postmenopausal women with osteoporosis, and we're defining that as a T-score of less than negative 2.5. The advice has been these bisphosphonates, which are oral as initial therapy. But then along comes a new kid on the block, denosumab. This drug is a fully human monoclonal antibody to the receptor activator of nuclear factor kappa B ligand. It's an osteoclast differentiating factor. Basically, what all of that means is that it inhibits osteoclast formation, it decreases bone reabsorption, and it increases bone mineral density, and all of that leads to a reduction of fractures. So it sounds like this might have some benefits in osteoporosis, right? Well, all that monoclonal talk also sounds like it might be expensive, and in fact, it is. So is there a consensus on the optimal use of denosumab, and is the drug better than the standard bisphosphonates? Mark has found a poem. It comes from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. It was published toward the end of 2019. For those that want to look it up, it starts on page 1553. It helps answer the question, what is the comparative effectiveness of denosumab and bisphosphonates in adults with osteoporosis? Mark, is this a game changer?
Depends. If you're using denosumab a lot, it might be. This was from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, and it's a journal that we've been following for over 20 years in POEMS. We review it every month, and rarely do we find anything clinical in it, despite the name. But this was, a useful study. It was a meta-analysis of randomized trials, and they were looking at trials that compared the monoclonal antibody denosumab with a bisphosphonate. And they searched the usual databases. They didn't look for unpublished studies, which could be important because the research is mostly industry funded. They found 10 studies that compared denosumab with one of four bisphosphonates, most often alendronate. That was in six of the 10 studies. Total of 5,360 patients. 99% were women, of course, and a mean age ranging from 63 to 78 years. Almost all were using this as primary prevention. They had osteoporosis, but they hadn't had a previous fracture. And 29% had not been previously treated with anything, but about 70% had been previously treated at some point for osteoporosis. Everyone was also taking calcium and vitamin D supplements. They did kind of a limited assessment of risk of bias, and they didn't evaluate the overall risk of bias of the studies, but they identified a number of flaws. Half the studies were open label. They weren't masked. Outcome assessment was masked in only three of the 10 studies. Allocation concealment was not performed correctly in three of the studies, and there was no description even of randomization and how that was done in two studies. So generally, these kind of biases would tend to favor the newer, fancier therapy, especially the open label aspect. So the authors, what did they find? They found a greater increase in bone density than with bisphosphonates. So it did increase bone density more. And, you know, Mike, you know, we don't particularly pay attention to those kind of disease-oriented outcomes like bone density. And regarding patient-oriented outcomes, there was no significant difference in the risk of any fracture based on five studies with 3,540 patients. In fact, there was actually a trend toward more fractures with denosumab, 4% versus 3.1%, Relative risk was 1.3, confidence interval 0.93 to 1.87. So a trend in the wrong direction. There was also no difference in the risk of osteoporotic fracture after 12 months based on three studies with about 2,000 patients, relative risk 0.92. There was no difference between groups in adverse events or severe adverse events. And they did estimate, they looked for publication bias, which would be studies that were negative trials that were unpublished. And particularly when there's a lot of, industry-funded research, that's a potential issue. And they estimate that there were between 0 and 3 unpublished negative trials. So this meta-analysis found no evidence that the monoclonal antibody denosumab reduces the risk of fracture more than bisphosphonates. And as you alluded to, the one-year supply of the drug, which is marketed as Prolia in the U.S., was $2,400 when I checked GoodRx at the end of January, and about $760 in Canada based on their Ontario formulary. So much more expensive than the now quite inexpensive bisphosphonates.
Right. Those bisphosphonates also have been around for a while, meaning that we have long-term safety and fracture prevention data. Well, thanks, Mark. An expensive drug that it sounds like needs a lot more study and perhaps isn't ready to replace standard practice. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.